Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We all want to be the center of attraction, babe. We all want to be the one that people run to, babe. We all want to be somebody, somebody's all and oh, yes. We all want to be standing in the light, yeah. We all want to be making the decisions, yeah. We all want to be calling all the shots, yeah. We all want to be better, better than the other, yes. We all need to be thinking about our life, and we need to love our brother, no matter what his color. Only love can make amends all of the problems of my men.
This kind of goes back to the conversation that our listener Jude had a few minutes ago about wanting something uplifting in these times. That's what we get in a new song that comes from T.C. Carson, singer, actor, one of Chicago's very own, by the way. You probably know him best from his role on the TV series Living Single that ran from 1993 to 1998. You know, it's funny this morning, you know, because I normally, for the TV morning show, I normally wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning every day. So, you know, I try to sleep in a little bit on the weekends if I can, you know, maybe to a whopping 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning. Today, for some reason, I woke up at 4 a.m., wide awake at 4 a.m. I popped the TV on. What's on? Living Single. I thought, how funny is that, that I should be watching Living Single right now when T.C. Carson is going to be on the show with us. So I got to enjoy you, T.C., this morning. You know, the old series, that was such a good TV show. You guys did such a good job on that.
Thank you so much. We really had a good time doing that show.
How are you, my friend?
I'm well. I cannot complain, brother. How about yourself?
Doing all right. You know, we're all taking one day at a time right now and seeing what's happening.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
With COVID and Black Lives Matter and dissent in the streets all that's going on in Chicago right now, it's a tough time,
yeah.
But we got to just put one foot in front of another. And as your new song says, come together, that we got to try to come together, which was so uplifting when I listened to it for the first time a couple of weeks ago. I thought, wow, this song is just what the world needs right now.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I was, you know, at the time when all of this stuff first started, and I was so distraught about everything that was going on, and I wanted to get out and protest, but I'm of a certain age group, and I have some pre-conditions that kind of prohibited me from being out there.
Yeah.
And I felt a little, I felt bad. I wanted to do something. I wanted to help to move the needle just a little bit. And I was listening to my album one day, and I remembered this song. I was like, wow, that would be really good for right now. And a really good friend of mine, Jaron, out of Chicago, he works with the Free Street Theater. And he actually shot the footage and put the video together for me.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is to hear the song is one thing. That when you just listen to the song, before I was doing television and talk and all that, you know, I was a DJ on a lot of stations in Chicago, and I said, this sounds like Al Jarreau singing. It's got that kind of like of a kind of a jazzy R&B kind of Al Jarreau kind of sound. But when you watch the video, which is on YouTube, it's really very poignant with pictures and things that depict what's going on in the United States right now, and all the cities in the United States right now.
Well, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make sure that everybody was represented, and people saw that people are really tired of what's going on right now, and they really want to come together. And you see that in the protests. You see the different types of people, all types of people,
yeah,
in these protests. And that's what's going to have to happen in order for us to move past this. We have to come together, not be separated like the powers that be are trying to do right now. We have to come together to make this work.
Yeah,
that's what America is supposed to be about.
That's what America is supposed to be about. While we're right in the middle of these two political conventions, you know, both sides saying that they're right. Bottom line, seems to me, is that we just need to figure out how to talk to one another instead of yelling at each other.
Talking at each other as opposed to each other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I love the song. I'm inspired by it. I hope everybody, you know, checks it out. Are you doing more music now? I mean, I know that you've always done music, but is this something that, you know, has kind of become a priority for you?
Well, now that we're in this state that we're in, we were supposed to go into the studio before COVID hit. And so now we're working to figure out how we can do it all remotely. I don't necessarily like to perform in pieces. I don't like to record in pieces. Like, you know, the bass player comes in and lays his part, piano lays their part, then you come in at the end and sing on top of that. For me, in my music, the magic for me happens when we all play together and we all are on that, in the same wavelength.
Right.
To me, that's where the conversation happens. That's where the magic happens. So I'm working on a new thing right now, trying to do this remotely with my band. And so we are working to create new music, and hopefully it'll be out soon.
Yeah, and because it's kind of virtually impossible to all be in the same studio right now and do it organically.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible, but we have moved so away from studio work. Everybody works from their house. Even right. Before COVID,
yeah.
Everybody does pieces, you know, and they put the pieces together. So the days of the big studio space where everybody could be in the same room, and you don't find those as much anymore.
Yeah. What about acting? Doing any acting, directing, any projects?
Oh, well, there's a few things out right now. As you said, Living Single is running in syndication. There's another show on TV One called Last Call. And that is running in syndication right now. There's a movie called Bricked that deals with bipolarism.
Hmm.
And that is on BET Her at this time. And on, I think, TV One as well, there is a movie called Coins for Love with Essence Atkins and Stephen Bishop. And that's running right now as well.
Yeah.
There's a web series out called The Gaze, G-A-Z-E. That's running on YouTube right now. We have our last two episodes of that next week, Thursday. But okay. If you go to the YouTube page, you can see all the previous episodes.
Oh,
it was a piece by a friend of mine. He wrote a play, and he realized that he wanted to still try to get this work done during the COVID time. So he retooled the play to work on Zoom calls and iPhone, and it was amazing the way they did it. I didn't think it would come out as well as it did, and it's really great.
Yeah, it's really amazing with music and projects like that you're talking about, how well they've adapted to having to do things on Zoom, do things digitally, virtually, that seemed so weird in the beginning 6 months ago, that now
right.
Creative people have figured out a way to make these things pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a new way to look at the art form.
That's what creative people do. Yeah, figure out.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, in theory, right. Why do you think Living Single remains so popular? And it really is very timely. I mean, to watch some of the old episodes, it really is a well-acted, well-written show, you know, that remains a favorite.
I think it was a snapshot of the times, and I think it was a natural progression. When you think about African-Americans on television, and if you go back to Cosby Show, and so you saw the young people and the family, then you went to Different Worlds, and you saw the teenagers in college, and the natural progression after that was to show them out of college, what are they doing, and that's where Living Single fits in.
Yeah.
And it dealt with the things that African Americans were dealing with at the time.
Yeah.
not only in the friendship realm, but in the public realm as well. We dealt with a lot of issues. So I think it just spoke to people during the time.
Yeah.
And I think it still speaks to people.
And, you know, it speaks to even, you know, people who are not African-American.
Absolutely.
I watch the show all the time. And there was just a relatability to it. You know, we're all about the same age, you know, give or take a few years. And what you were all going through is, you know, what a lot of us were going through in our own particular lives right now. I think that's part of it. It was just really, really genius writing. And, you know, the cast could not be beat.
Well, thank you for that. We really enjoyed being with each other. That was one thing I think that really made the show work was the friendship that you saw on screen was real genuine. We still talk to each other. We have a text thread where we hang in, you know, hang out and check in on each other. So the friendship you saw was real.
Yeah. You think there's ever a chance of a reunion show? There's so many of the old shows, they come back either as specials or they come back in new ways. I could see everybody coming back and now dealing with their own kids and, like a whole new level.
It'd be great. I mean, I would love to get a chance to work with my cast again because we really had a lot of fun. A lot of things you never got a chance to see that were hilarious during tape days. So it's really great to be able to work with a group of people that you can bounce off of and you can really delve into who the character is. You don't have to worry about, is somebody going to show up? If you say a line differently, is somebody going to not respond the way they need to us? Everybody was really locked in when we were taping. And so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you had to be one of the best dressed men on television back in the day. You know, 20 something and razor sharp every single episode. You know, while everybody else is, in work clothes, comfortable clothes, you always were like a 3-piece suit or something, right?
Well, that was one of the things I wanted to make sure with the character. That part of him was part of my dad. My dad never left the house without being dressed. He always had a hat on.
Yeah.
He was always natty, as they say. he would leave.
Yeah.
And so I wanted Kyle to give that to young people because at the time we were wearing just really baggy things that weren't, I just didn't like the fashion. And so with Ceci and my brother that helped her, we were able to create a style for Kyle that nobody had kind of seen yet. And so was able to push a narrative that we hadn't seen. And I think that's what Living Single did. They pushed a narrative that we hadn't seen before with these young people.
Yeah, for all of the characters. Because really in, groups of friends, there almost always is the one person, everybody else is in jeans and T-shirts and, comfortable clothes that you'd expect a 20-year-old to wear. There's almost always one person who's got a tie on, who likes, they just like to look natty, as you put it.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny that you say that about your dad, because my dad, same thing. I vividly remember him being in the backyard, short sleeve shirt, but still wearing a tie, cutting the grass. He just always wore a suit and tie or shirt and tie, no matter what.
Yeah.
Certain generation.
They had a way of dressing that's the way you got up in the morning. You put that on.
Yep. Made you feel good about yourself. Let me take a quick break. I want to talk about your growing up in Chicago. When we come right back, T.C. Carson has a brand new song that's called Come Together that you can see and hear on YouTube. Great song.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine.
T.C. Carson from the TV show Living Single.
You make me smile.
Do you remember that episode, T.C., serenading?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was, for me, it was a very pivotal episode in my development of who he was.
In what way?
To be able to show that not only did he work on Wall Street, but he had a creative thing in him as well that he wanted to get out. For me, the artist, to be able to sing live on set was big for me because I didn't think they would let me do it.
Yeah.
And at the time, we had a really great band, including world-renowned drummer Ndugu Chancellor, who has since passed away. And so when I watch that episode and I see him, it just brings back such great memories.
It's got to bring back great memories. Just, I mean, for you to watch this and to see you interacting with the cast, you know, it must just bring back a million great memories for you.
It does. Again, we really like each other. So we had a good time on set, you know. It's like going to work with your friends every day.
Yeah, it sure makes it a lot more pleasant than when you don't get along with the people that you work with.
I've been there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. So talk to me about your Chicago-ness. You know, where'd you grow up? And give me a little of the history of that.
Well, as a young person, I lived in the projects. LeClaire Courts, which was Southwest Side, right by Cicero.
Okay.
In fact, as a young kid, we used to ride our bikes down to Midway Airport when there was hardly any traffic at Midway, and we could break through the fence and ride our bikes on the tarmac.
Oh, my gosh.
Until the people came out, then we would run and go back and
chase you away. Yeah, clearly.
That just shows you can't. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, clearly pre-9/11, where you could break onto a runway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you see Midway Airport is so big right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a major airport. And even now, those projects are gone. I had flown into Midway a year or so ago, and we always go down Cicero to get to the expressway.
Yeah.
And I looked, and LeClaire Courts was right by the expressway, and I looked over, and there's nothing.
All gone. Yeah.
Nothing but grass. And I asked them, why they have not, why didn't they redo those apartments like they did on the lakefront, or why didn't they build something else there?
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who was a developer told me that, well, it's on a floodplain.
Oh, I see. I never knew that.
And so it's not feasible to build on the floodplain, but they put the projects on the floodplain.
I wondered about that because, you know, so many of the former projects, including Cabrini, now are super high price condos, high rises that have been put up in those areas.
Well, you have to understand the projects were built close to city center so workers could get to work. And all of that property is prime property.
Yeah.
You know, all of that is very, very, you know, there were projects with lakefront views.
Right. So were you...
Unobstructed lakefront, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, prime property for sure. So you went to... Did you go to high school here in Chicago? At what point did you move?
Actually, we moved right after I graduated eighth grade. We moved out to Summit.
Got it.
Summit, Illinois. Argo is the other side. Like one side of 63rd Street is Summit. The other side is Argo.
Yeah.
And at the end of 63rd Street, all the way west, is Argo Cornstarch Corn Products.
Hmm.
And we moved out there. So I went to Argo Community High School.
Got it. Okay.
Which was interesting. Interesting. Well, you know, usually when you go to high school, you go to high school with the people you graduate with.
Yeah.
And I went to high school and didn't know anybody.
Didn't know anybody, yeah. New kid.
Anybody, you know. So it was interesting. It was cool, you know. I come from a house that was not necessarily progressive, but my mom didn't stand in the way of my creativity.
Right.
She didn't necessarily like it, but she didn't stand in the way of it. So it allowed me to be the artist I am today.
Right. Yeah, a lot of parents frown on their children getting into professions where there will mostly be rejection.
Yeah, well, you know, but if that's what you're put here to do,
if that's your passion,
then you don't look at it as rejection as much.
Yeah,
because I really feel that what's for you does not get by you, as long as you're prepared to get it.
You got to follow your passion no matter what. Otherwise, you're going to live an unhappy life. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when I talk to young people about being, actors, my first thing I ask them is, why do you do this? Are you trying to be a star? Are you trying to be famous? Why do you do this? And if they tell me that, then I say, you may not get that. There's so many actors that will never be famous, but they love what they do.
Yeah, you got to love the art.
And they make a good living at what they do.
The song is called Come Together. I hope everyone will go and check it out. T.C. Carson, I hope, once things clear up and, you can come back to Chicago and travel, I hope we get a chance to, get together and say hello. In the meantime, I really appreciate you joining us today. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you taking the time and reaching out and actually wanting to talk to me. That's great.
Yeah, my pleasure.